Hello, good morning, everyone. It's good to see people. I'm Kenny, by the way. Pastor Sam's away, so I'm just filling in. So if we could turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, starting at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this morning and just helping all of us to wake up and come and to spend time with you, Lord. And I just pray that in this time, in just this morning, God, that you would come and touch us, Lord, touch us and transform us through your word. And we just desire to really be transformed this morning, God. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. So in this verse, Jesus, I guess, kind of really shocks the disciples. You got to kind of see what the disciples have been living, right? They've been living with Jesus and they've been experiencing Jesus's, I guess, leadership and also his incredible power, right? Like, I mean, if you've been spending this time with Jesus, I'm sure it's giving you a lot of confidence as as you're walking through different cities and seeing everything. I mean, to a certain extent, you feel almost invincible. I just imagine if I was walking, even through the most dangerous neighborhood and Jesus is with me, I'm going to be walking with a certain, I guess, swagger, right? Like, you're just like, "Yeah, I'm with him. I'm not scared of anything." So to the disciples, Jesus is basically the guy who's going to come and save them and smite all their enemies. But instead, Jesus tells the disciples that basically what's going to happen is he's going to get captured, he's going to suffer, he's going to be killed. And of course, he also says, "But I'm going to be raised on the third day." But I think the disciples probably overlook that last part, and they just hear that, and they're probably just so disturbed, right? And more than just being an incredible leader, like, you got to realize that Jesus was the one who basically took these guys in, showed his incredible love and compassion for people, and this was a guy that they loved. I mean, in the same way everyone here, we say we love Jesus, right? Like, and he's done incredible things for us. But the disciples actually walked with him, like, as real and as tangible as our family members. So how does Peter respond, right? He responds when he hears that Jesus is gonna, I guess, basically let himself be captured, let him suffer and be killed. How does Peter respond? He goes, "No." Right? And when I first read this, my reaction was, Oh, Peter, you're such a fool. Don't you know that this is Jesus, our God? He'll be fine, right? Or Peter, why don't you just obey, you dummy, right? This is Jesus. Just listen to him. But I don't think how Peter responded was actually so odd, so different. I think most of us would probably respond the same way. Which of us here would not respond if our wives, I just imagine for Janie, or our parents, if they said something like, hey, I'm just going to give up, I'm just going to die, we would probably all respond, no, you're not going to die, I'm gonna stand in that. I'll give my life if I have to. There's no way I'm gonna let you die, right? And it's not even something like, oh, I need to pray about it, right? Like if Janie said, hey, I'm just gonna give up. I don't think I can do it. I'm not gonna pray about it. I'm not gonna even process. My gut reaction is, no, I'm not gonna let you die. I love you, and that's exactly how Peter responded. And to hear Jesus talk like that, I'm sure, you know, it must have torn him apart. Someone he loves so dearly, right? I think more than just a leader. Like, Peter just loved Jesus, right? I mean, he literally gave his life to Jesus. So how did Peter respond? He said, no way. I mean, just a sincere love for Jesus. There's no way I'll let you die. And how does Jesus respond? He says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. I mean, I'm sure that was the last thing that Peter was expecting, right? Like, you know, if we were to say that to our wives, family members, and they said, get behind me, Satan, I'd be like, you know, being slammed by something. Like, what? What? That doesn't make sense. But there's a key difference between Peter's mode of operation and Jesus' mode of operation, right? Even though Peter was, if you look at Peter, even though Peter was reacting out of, you know, a real love, sincerity, and even a heartbrokenness of what Jesus shared, it was really self-centered. It was a self-centered love that he was sharing. And Jesus said to him, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests but man's. And I think that's also kind of a good lesson. Even though a lot of times we can be so sincere, right? If it's not, if it's what we want, because for Peter, he was going to miss Jesus a lot, right? So in some ways that's his own, I don't want to say benefit, but it affects him. And that's how he reacted out. But with Jesus, his mode of operation is obviously very different. He's God-centered, or I guess you could say he was Father-centered. In John 5, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. So my question, my one question this morning is, are you self-centered like Peter? Or are you God-centered like Jesus? And I know sometimes you hear the word self-centered and it's like so negative, but actually it's quite natural, right? Being selfish is very negative. I mean, we all know what that means. But being self-centered is actually, I mean, it's not good, but it's not necessarily that bad either. And it's quite natural. For instance, if you have this desire to do really well in school, right? You want to do really well in work. You want a family. You want to be in a relationship with someone. If those things are the reason that you live and really become your idol, then those things can be self-centered. So I think probably most of you here have heard of Jeremy Lin. And if you go to the SP website, there's a post on Jeremy Lin sharing his testimony. I mean, he's basically the first American-born Chinese player. You know, people are going crazy. You go on Facebook, people who aren't even into basketball are actually the most into Jeremy Lin. They're posting things about him like crazy. And, you know, he's the reason people love him is he's athletic. He's, you know, people identify with him because he's American-born Chinese person, and he's a good Christian. Right, it's like the perfect man. And so he shares his testimony, and to sum up his testimony, he asks, what are we living for, right? And he had this revelation because he actually was able to live out his dream, right, which was he got opportunities. He went to Harvard. He got to play. And you know, after going through all these steps, he finally made it to the NBA. He was drafted, not drafted, but he got picked up by the Golden State Warriors. And you know, it was kind of up and down. And he realized he was probably the most miserable he had ever been, because basketball became his idol. And it became his life. And he realized, because it had become his idol, basketball also defined him. So if that thing that you are living for, whether it could be basketball, it could be your career, it could be a relationship, it could be a family, if it's what you idolize, it will define you. And depending on how those circumstances kind of turn out, then that's how you turn out, right? For Jeremy Lin, when he played well, then he would be so happy. If he didn't play well, he'd be so sad. I mean, he was very volatile, so conditional. And he came to the revelation that it had become his idol. And basically, in his testimony, he realized, you know, I can't live this way. I can only have one, which is God, right? And he kind of came to that revelation, shared with the group. But what's kind of cool is this testimony he shared was actually 8 months ago, or at least 8 months ago. That's when the YouTube video was posted. And he doesn't really share about the fruit that comes out of it. But as we know now, I mean, since then, actually, he had a lot more, I guess you could say, turmoil in his circumstances. So he was with the Golden State Warriors. He actually got dropped by the Golden State Warriors, and he got picked up by I hope people understand what I'm saying. But he got picked up by the New York Knicks. And even then, he was like the third or fourth, priority of playing. And as we know, now he's had that opportunity to start, and, you know, he's done amazing. And it's kind of cool because even in that, you don't see the basketball fruit. It was just his revelation, right? He shares in his testimony. And now we actually get to see the fruit of, I guess, you know, God's faithfulness to Jeremy Lin by opening doors. And now he's the starting point guard. And people are saying, will even the two all-stars be able to fit in with Jeremy Lin, right? So it's just incredible to see God's faithfulness. And even for myself, I mean, I've experienced it. I've been here 8 years, and you just see how God, every step of the way, so faithful, which is why we can go from shifting to self-centered to God-centered, right? And being self-centered is not that bad, but it is impossible to sustain, right? Because, again, you cannot control every single circumstance. And once you move into that, I guess, God-centered, then incredible things can happen. Again, Jesus says, Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows all things to he himself is doing. And this is the part. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. So, if we can just close our eyes. And if we can get some background worship. So as you guys know, this is actually a very key year for Solomon's Porch. This is, as P. Sam shared, the year of prayer. Yeah, so this is the year of prayer. And P. Sam kind of shared his heart with the church, which is, this is a make or break year in the sense, you know, we can keep doing what we're doing, or we can go for something greater, which is what God is doing. So we need to, even in our prayers, really go from a shift from those self-centered prayers to the God-centered prayers. I mean, the one thing is going from shifting from self-centered, God-centered is actually not something we can do, right? Hello. You heard about how SP came to be, and it was prayed in by basically a few girls. Back then, there was not even Solomon's Porch. And they just prayed and prayed for a pastor. They prayed for a place. And that's how Pastor Sam and Solomon's Porch came, right? At that time, based on their circumstances, they had no choice. They needed to pray. But right now at Solomon's Porch, you know, we have great pastoral staff. We have a wonderful sanctuary. I mean, it's going to be next to impossible to pray passionately. We have everything, you could say. So in order to get to that place of praying fervently, we need to shift not into what we can do and what we see, but we need to shift into what God is doing, right? So again, so how do we make that shift? It's not something that we can do. It's something actually that requires God, right? It's more than a decision, but the key is it really takes a relationship with God, right? And Jesus had that relationship with Father God. And that's why he was able to operate. So just as we worship, I encourage you to make the most of this time right now, to spend that time with God, right? And just really know what the Father is doing. Pastor Sam shared, praying is more than just uttering words. It's a relationship. So you have to also listen. So even in this time, just as you worship, just be open to how the Holy Spirit just guides you and leads you.
Giving you my heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song. I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear. Count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy and even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you.
Just take some time to pray and listen, and just really commit to this relationship. And as you know, in a relationship, it actually does require time together. So you know, there's many great opportunities. I mean, you guys are all here at EMP, so that's great. But also, even just in our own quiet times, or even the river's coming up, it's such a great opportunity to meet with God and His presence. And yeah, sometimes it really takes a sacrifice or inconvenience to spend time with God. And I think that's why it's so valuable. So, you know, the river, it's on a Saturday night when we could be doing so many things, spend time with our friends, you know, just have a lot of fun. But to come here on a Saturday to spend time with God, I have no doubt He'd be so pleased. So let's just take some time. I mean, whether it be the river or in your own personal time or just setting that time aside, let's just commit to God, to this relationship. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community now. Let's pray for the cancer that's happening within our community. Hyja's uncle, late stage, Matthew Doble's aunt, Connie's aunt, Kian's mom, and Chrisley's aunt. And let's also continue to pray for Lizzie. Lizzie is the niece of one of our the people we play basketball with, and her tumor has, I think I talked to him this Saturday, and it's not completely gone, but still a speck. But I mean, that's in itself is a miracle. But let's continue to pray for just full healing. And praise God, Lian Chow. We can probably get rid of that one. But Lian Chow's, they removed the growth, and it's nothing. So praise God. And let's also pray for chemo for Alex Lee's father, P. Sam's aunt, and Janine Basaraba. Just that they would have real strength and an appetite, and just be able to be in good spirits as they go through this. Let's pray. Let's also pray for Krista's aunt, Bonnie's grandfather, pancreatic cancer, Rachel's uncle, great aunt, and Vivian's grandfather, and also the infirmities, Alan Lunsford, who had a stroke, Paul and Joyce's son, Benji, that he be healed of his allergy, and also Katie Chen's heart. And also let's lift up our members, John Kang, Sujin, Katharina, Pearl, Juhi, and Hyge, that you know that in this time of uncertainty, that just their focus would still be on God. You know, God is so faithful, He will provide for them. So let's just pray. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's lift up Cambodia, New Life Church, Pastor Tang, Center of Peace, Orphanage. Let's pray for Grace and what she's doing at Bloom, and just all the girls there. And let's also pray for the Philippines and the Solomon's Clinic with Mr. Jang and also Bataan. Let's pray for the ministries. Let's pray for IP team, led by Matt, Cascade led by Leanne, The Well by Larry, and Local Outreach by Sophia. Let's pray for just unity over the teams and also direction for the leadership. Finally, let's lift up all the house churches today. Let's lift up Causeway Bay, Mac Daddy, McRobinson, Tregunter, and also Waterfront. You know, that the house churches would just really begin to go deeper with one another through prayer, and use the prayer to really just bond the whole house churches together and join in with what God is doing. Father God, Lord, you are our reason, God, and forgive us, Lord, if we have been so easily drawn in by things of this world, God, and we just ask for your help, God. Help us to really not be distracted, Lord. Help us not to be distracted through just the blessings you've brought into our lives, our families, our jobs, our, you know, our iPads and iPhones, and our PS3s, Lord. I just pray that those things would never take the place of you, Lord. And that this year, as we enter into the year of prayer, God, that we would begin to have you as the very center of our lives, God, and that we can begin to really walk as you direct us. I just be with all our members today, Lord, as they go off to work. Just speak to them, and that they would be able to testify of your faithfulness and your goodness. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. So just please continue to spend time with God, and just really enjoy that time.